We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 23 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson, and we're here to start day one, or is it one day, as we journey together with another EdTech fierce female with an incredibly inspirational story. I know I'm going to learn a lot today, Keisha. So joining us is Lillian Kellogg. Let's learn a little bit about Lillian. You know, she's dedicated her career to education for over 35 years of experience in this field, and specifically in the field of EdTech. She's a pioneer. She's been elected to serve on several education and industry-leading association boards. She served as a director and has received several awards and recognitions for her dedication and amazing service. In this community, she's been recognized with awards such as SIIA Lifetime Achievement Award, the EdTech Impact Award, COSIN Outstanding Private Sector Champion Volunteer Award, and the ISTE Making It Happen Award. I think you have that award too, Keisha. There's going to be some connections, I see.
Pink jacket.
I love it. And as a Senior Vice President of Client Services for Ketchon and ENA. Lillian oversees marketing, general business operations for Ketchon, and strategic business development.
Oh my gosh, we're so lucky to have Lil as one of our sheroes in education. She's been my shero in education for quite a while. And each week, Lil, we explore models of leadership together, and we focus on what we refer to as a pattern of M, asking our guests who their mentors are and how they've impacted their life, and then thinking about your role models, looking into the mirror, and then any movements that we should be watching that inspire or ignite maverick moments.
You know, Keisha, I notice there are a bunch of acronyms we're using, and a lot of them are around awards. What a problem to have, right? But I'm wondering, maybe we should explain a little bit more about maybe even the SIIA. That seems like a really important organization and award. So, Lillian, I'm wondering if you can help enlighten us.
Sure. SIIA is the Software and Information Industry Association, and this is an association that pulls together software developers from the ed tech industry, as well as from the commercial side. So they will have members such as Salesforce and Microsoft and, you know, all of the leading commercial software providers, but they also have probably almost 200 members from the ed tech community, and they have a particular emphasis on education and technology and have for many, many years.
It's true. They're a really wonderful organization and a good partner to ISTE. We've worked on a lot of projects together through the years.
Wait. Keisha, hold on. What is this ISTE thing?
Oh my gosh. This is the perfect time to talk about ISTE because we just finished ISTE. ISTE is the International Society for Technology in Education, and the conference always occurs the last full week in June, and so we just finished it, and it was a phenomenal conference. It was all virtual, but next year we'll be back in person in New Orleans, so check out the registration for that.
Oh my, that's going to be a party.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be a welcome back party.
Right.
I know. All right, let's get on to our M's. Can you share with us your role models and why?
Yes, so I have a lot of role models, but I think the most important thing that I've, you know, recognized in people that have helped me along the way are those people who really will, you know, stop and give you the time of day. No matter who you are, you know, whether they know you or not, They're willing to help. They're willing to, kind of provide their expertise. So they don't, they're very inclusive, and they don't see themselves as, elite in any way. So, I've just really enjoyed people that have given, people they know, people they don't know, help, whether they're, at the top of their game or just, rising up. So that's been a really important component of people I see as mentors. They just extend themselves out to anyone.
Yeah. Really being present and being accessible. Abundant, the gift of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Accessible. So, and there are people where I felt I just couldn't, no matter how long I stand in line after the presentation to try to talk to them, they scurried away. And then there are people who just stay and make sure everybody in that line gets their questions answered. And that's an important, that's an important piece of, being a mentor.
Yeah. Attributes that your role models have carried forward and something that you look for in mentors. And so as you think about your current mentors, who are some folks that are really influencing you in your present space?
So I have always been influenced by an industry leader by the name of Kathy Hurley. Kathy has been an amazing networker. So Kathy, never forgets a face. She never forgets a person. I can remember traveling with her when we were both engaged in the Partnership for 21st Century Learning. She was chair and I was incoming chair. We traveled together to do presentations about P21. And along the way, she must have stopped. We were in Idaho, for goodness sakes, and she knew at least 15 people there and stopped and had, breakfast, lunch, dinner. She just creates an amazing circle of contacts. And that, she's been known for. So Kathy, as far as her networking skills and her ability to really have a very broad presence in the education community has been fabulous. A gentleman that helped me when I first got into education technology, he's no longer with us, but it was a gentleman by the name of Leroy Finkel, and he worked at the San Mateo County Office of Education. And I first started working in education technology, and I went to see him, and I said, I really don't know a lot about this industry. I was selling computers commercially, but not into education. And he said, okay, you go and put together your presentation, and you come back, and I will help you to craft it so that, it really speaks to the education community. Who does that? Who will actually take that amount of time to help you to be a better partner? So I really thank Leroy because, he helped me quite a bit. And then, of course, Karen Billings. Karen was president of SIIA, which we already talked about, for many years, and I co-chaired the education committee, under Karen Billings. And Karen is just so knowledgeable about the technology and about the industry and about, the importance of bringing together, whether it's for advocacy or whether it's for information or whether it's, just for protection of the community, like protection being, software piracy protection. She just really had a handle on, so many aspects. So those are some mentors who, I just look to because they had so much expertise and they shared that expertise. And again, were willing to, bring people into the fold and keep them there, in ways that engage them at their level.
You are describing exactly what Frances and I are trying to build with the honor roll is, kind of bringing phenomenal mentors like you in and hopefully matching them with mentees along the way. That is our vision. And we're just so thankful that you're here and that you've got such incredible, I'm thinking Kathy and Karen would be great, great guests for the honor roll. Oh, Bill. Gosh, yes. We might need to reach out to them and see if they would be interested. Okay, here's another question of about an M. When did you look in the mirror and see a leader looking back?
So I think the first time was, you know, when I started an electronic distribution company that was primarily selling consumer electronics. And a lot of people said to me, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of competition, you know, you're going to fail. Why would you do something like that? And I just had that vision. You know, I put on blinders. I didn't look necessarily, it's not that I was trying to ignore the competition, but I just said, you know, I see something that other people do not. Right? I see an opportunity that other people do not. And I think that's what entrepreneurs really do. You know, like they have a skill set for just seeing a opportunity or seeing a market or seeing a something that's missing that we could fill a void. And I really saw something missing in consumer electronics and you know, at the time. And then that evolved into selling, you know, computers, and that evolved into selling, you know, technology into education. So, you know, it grew from selling, you know, video games to mass merchandisers to, you know, obviously selling computers into schools. But I saw this opportunity, and that's when, you know, when I looked in the mirror, I said, you know, I'm going to go with my own gut. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go with my own gut. And, you know, I didn't have a fear of failing. And maybe some of that is, you know, I was brought up with a family of very small business operators. My grandmother, who, you know, owned a business in the 50s, you know, independently, had a gift shop that she ran and managed and bought, you know, bought properties and things that, you know, women just didn't do in the 50s. So I didn't have that fear of, you know, I had a mentor, and I saw somebody do that, you know, kind of have a small business, and I, you know, thought I would try.
That sounds like both in your DNA and in your environment, you had this opportunity and this vision where if something was invisible, you could make it visible for others.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And as a woman, starting a tech company, did you say 1977?
Yep.
That sounds like an incredible space for women to be changing the world. And I'm curious to have your insights on how do you see women changing the world? You're one of them. What might you want to share with us about that landscape?
I think women are amazing networkers. You know, I would say, you know, if I were to compare women, I would compare them to the internet. You know, when you took a look at what, you know, how the internet started, you know, it built this amazing, you know, global network that connected people together in ways that, you know, just were unbelievable. You know, who knew how it would evolve? But I see the same thing in women. They are networkers at heart. They really understand the value of the network. They're very inclusive, you know, they're non-judgmental, you know, all of the things that I think, you know, the internet is, you know, it's just all of those things. So, and I think we really recognize that community builds capacity. So if you have a community of women, you know, you have a very capable and dynamic group. So if inclusion, that's always been part of, you know, what women do. I mean, they always are building their communities, they're building their families, they're building, you know, just their friendship network, they're building their social and, you know, their social, emotional, professional networks. That's what we do. And I think now more than ever, those networks are becoming the fabric of change.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad we recorded that. That's a phenomenal description of how women are influencing, have and continue to influence. Absolutely. I love the capable and dynamic descriptors. And when we think about that definition, are there any women mavericks that you can kind of call out that you think fit that description?
Yeah, I think there are a few. Keisha, you're one of the people that I see as that maverick. When you were chair of ISTE, again, we've described ISTE earlier, but when you were chair of ISTE, you pulled together, you know, you saw the power of women and in the industry. So, you know, you saw this network of women in the industry and thought, you know, we need to do something similar for women who are in the K-12 environment, for people who are in, institutional jobs. So everyone that works at school districts, everyone who's administrators, you felt that there could be a really strong network built to help women who are in education help other women in education. So you saw that happen on the industry side, and you wanted to recreate that on the institutional side. And that was really very groundbreaking, and I think very new, because, you know, a lot of women in education, and one of the reasons, you know, I started my career in education, and one of the reasons why I left is I felt it was a little too isolating for me. And I think you bridged that isolation gap by, you know, starting to create a network of women who would help each other in the K-12 community. So I think that was, you know, kind of a maverick thing and groundbreaking to do.
Too kind.
I mentioned this other industry association, and this is one called the Dolls, and this was started by one of my friends, Ellen Biallo. And Ellen started this Dolls group many years ago. Almost at the start of education and technology. And DOLL stands for Dirty Old Ladies of Software. And so these were women who were selling software, you know, shrink wrap packages of software to school systems, you know, back in the day. And now this group is 400 women strong. And I can tell you that if I have a question, I want to meet somebody who is at AWS, or I want to meet somebody, you know, in any company, I will put out a question to the Dolls Network. I will say, can anyone introduce me to, you know, somebody that, you know, is responsible for this area within this company? And I can tell you within 10 seconds, I have 10 people who will help. You know, are willing, 10 women who will respond and, you know, are able to help. And that was a very maverick, you know, that's kind of a maverick thing to do. And it is so strong now. And a woman that works with me, Monica Coogan, is now co-chairing along with Ellen Biallo. And Monica is, you know, an up and coming person in our industry. And so, you know, Ellen really brought forward a lot of the, she calls them DILs, Dirty Young Ladies of Software. You know, so, you know, we really made an effort to bring up, you know, younger women in the industry. So, you know, another maverick for sure. Oh, and then we mentioned Kathy Curley earlier. So Kathy has written a book called Real Women, Real Leaders. And this is where she really highlights those people, those women who have made a real impact in their fields. And so, you know, just shining a light on that. She started a not-for-profit called Girls Thinking Global. And this was primarily for helping young adolescent women to really see their potential and to think of themselves as leaders. So great, you know, I've had some great role models, some great, you know, people that I've been able to share my career with.
You shine a light on some amazing women, and I love what you said about bridging that isolation gap.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that you and Keisha have been bridge builders for so many women, you know, and especially fierce women, right? And we can't do this work without also reminding ourselves to take care of the individual being yourself, Lillian, and your self-care. So what do you do to find that balance and stay in that space with others?
Oh, I have to admit I've been a failure at this. I have totally failed. I am a workaholic. I have always been a workaholic. I don't know how to turn off. I really don't. I recently got a puppy, and that puppy, you know, gets me out of my chair and gets me walking, you know, several times a day. I don't have a yard or anything I can just let it out to. So it has been elusive for me. And I really admire women who can take the time to meditate, who can take the time to really work on any aspect of self-improvement. I am not I'm not the poster child for that. So sorry to say.
I'm just going to say that in 23 episodes, we've never had anyone admit that. And in every single one, I say, I wish I could do that. I wish I had balance. I wish I, and now I'm like, Lil's my hero.
I need to jump in on this one.
Oh, dang it.
Because Lil, while you do a lot professionally, you also balance that with volunteer work, correct? So maybe that's a way of thinking about your own self-care. And sometimes doing that work, you know, feeds our soul and brings such gratitude. So sometimes it's about unpacking the ways that we take care of ourselves that might not be, you know, what some might think of as traditional self-care, but it's a way that we identify with self-care. So I'm going to still give you a gold star on this.
All right. Yes, it is a labor of love. That's what I tell people is that, you know, if it gives me great joy and reward to do that type of volunteer work. So.
Well, you do a lot of that. So now I still feel bad. Well, that's good. Thanks. I'll have to wait for episode number 24.
Let's go back to the beginning. Was it day one or one day? So we can still find that balance.
It's a journey. Oh, my friends. Well, now we're going to move to a little game of insights that we play to kind of finish off the podcast. And it's a finish this thought game. So here is the first one. An event that changed my world view.
So for me, it is when Barack Obama became president. That to me triggered change. It triggered, it sent a message to everyone. Whether you're African American, whether you're a woman, whether, wherever you're at, that anything is possible and should be included and should be really embraced. So he was an inspiration. I miss him every day, honestly.
I think we all remember that moment.
Yes.
And especially if you were in the presence of children.
Yes.
Especially in the communities that so many of us have served, it really was a message of hope.
Yes. I went to D.C. for his inaugural, and it was so inspirational. I mean, the millions and millions and millions and millions of people who just celebrated the potential, you know, celebrated, you know, the vision, the potential that, you know, everyone can have.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And a little, I have one of those sentence starters too. Let's try this one on.
All right.
I became a stronger person after.
I think it's after I accepted the fact that you're powerless over people and only have control over yourself. So a lot of people will talk about, you know, oh, I'm in this terrible job and nobody appreciates me. And, you know, all of these, you know, all of these things that are external, you know, they're not, you know, this is something that is happening to me and I, you know, and I can't change. And what I say to them is, you know, if you can't change the dynamic, what you can change is yourself. You have to take yourself out of that situation and insert yourself into a better situation. And it took me a really long time to realize that. And, you know, the way that I got to it is, you know, I had an alcoholic father who could never overcome his demon of alcoholism, could not. And I tried so hard, you know, I tried so hard to make him a better person or to have him stop drinking and all of that stuff. And until I realized that, you know, there just wasn't anything that I could do. With the exception of changing, you know, like I just had to stop thinking that I could change that dynamic. And it was easier, you know, it was easier for me to accept and for me to move on. So, you know, I really tell people who are struggling with relationships or job things that they just don't feel or they're able to really shine in. You have power over yourself. That's your power. Take yourself out of that situation, insert yourself in a better one, and life will change for you.
It's so true. You've given me that advice, and my life did change dramatically. And I am forever grateful for that advice and wisdom that you shared with me. And continue to share. Hey, what about this one? My life improved when I...
When I started working in the K-12 community. And it is a community. You know, when you take a look at education, it is the second largest industry in the United States, you know, next to healthcare. But it is a community. It is a small, you know, it's a large group, but a very small, you know, kind of community. I really felt that different from when you work in a commercial sector where, you know, you get in your car, you go to the next account and, you know, you just don't look back. In education, you know, you build friendships for life. You build relationships for life. It is a relationship-based community. And that is very, you know, it helps me. It really changed my life to, you know, be able to have people that I work with for 20 years, 30 years or more, you know, 5 years, 2 years, whatever it is. You know, people who are in education are in it because they are mission driven. And, you know, it's just great to be together with, you know, people who have similar, you know, kind of similar dedication in their lives.
Beautiful. And as we think about dedication, you've done a great job answering all these questions. So I'm going to bring it home strong here.
Okay.
Final one. And it's going back, you know, thinking about your self-care and all your networks. How about this one? My life improved when I...
got a dog.
Woohoo! Furry friends.
I got a puppy. The pandemic was really difficult. You know, I was here by myself. You know, it's like, all right, Lillian, let's go do laundry, you know, but now I can just talk to my puppy. You know, it's like, okay, let's go buy food. Let's go do laundry. It became, you know, I just didn't think about the isolation of the pandemic. And I really thought about this fabulous new puppy who brings me joy every day.
And does this puppy have a name that we should all be following?
Yes. He's a little malty poo. He's, 8 pounds, and his name is Lovey. And I named him Lovey because my grandmother, who I told you about earlier, she was, the biggest role model in my life. When she saw me, she used to call me my little Lovey. Oh, my little Lovey. So it was a term of endearment to me. And when I saw this puppy full of like curiosity and was just, that's all I thought about was, my little Lovey. So there you go.
Well, it sounds like it's not a furry friend. It's furry family now.
Oh, and totally. Yeah.
What a way to hear Lovey each and every moment of your day now. Lillian, you have shared such an incredible story of power. And you talked about power in your community and how that builds capacity and, just so much wisdom around even just thinking about ourselves as interconnected females who are much like the internet in this dialogue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I know that Keisha has been part of this internet, as you explained, and I have to put Keisha on the spot again. I'm always one of those instructors who has to check for understanding. So Keisha, are you ready? What have you learned from this conversation? Let's see how your capacity has been built.
She's also checking to make sure I'm paying close attention, which
and you always do.
I always do. It's true. I have always admired Lil, but what I have just learned, I guess, through this conversation is your resilience to change, your commitment to, I'm going to use the word evolution. I think that going into the tech space in 1977 as a female is honestly, it's awe-inspiring. Like, I can't even imagine it. I remember that point in time. And I remember the energy around women entering almost any space, let alone a male-dominated space. And I just can't imagine the oomph that you had to have to do that and to be successful at it and to compete at a very high level with really big brands that were just coming into the space too. So I just, and that was the starting point for you. So I'm like, dang, if that's where you start, girl. And then where you, where you are now, I mean, you find these fascinating companies and you see something in them, like with Catch On, that, is going to make a difference. And that, and because you see it, you embrace it and you lift it up and you accelerate it. And you don't just do that with companies. You do that with people. You've done it with me. Yeah. You've done it with Monica. And I just sincerely appreciate being part of your network and being a friend.
Thank you. I just, it's been fun. It's been a great career. It's been fun. I've built such strong friendships, and there's so many more, there's so much left to do. There's not, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. So thank you.
Well, if you could share one thing with our audience or your younger self or a mentee, what would that one thing be?
You just have to, if you're passionate about something, you just have to follow your passion. I mean, people have said this over the years in many different ways, like if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life or, all of those things. But it's really true. I never have felt a burden with anything that I've taken on to do. So it's never been, oh my God, I've got to do this or that. But, it's been about passion. It's been about finding, something that you really feel strongly about or a skill set that you feel or is uniquely yours. And then you just have to go for it. You know, you have to go for it. You have to put on those blinders. You can't, you know, you can't be, you can't have people talk you down or, you know, tell you that, you know, you can't do something or shouldn't do something, you know, for some reason. Yeah, you might fail. You might be amazingly successful. But in that failure or in that success, you will learn, you know, you will learn, you'll tweak, you'll redo it, and just get better. So, believe in yourself, you know, for sure. Rely on yourself, and never rely on anyone else for money. That's about all. That's...
Amen to that.
Amen to that. Uh-huh.
Well, Lil, clearly you have evoked so much passion and compassion.
Thank you.
With our listening audience today and those that you have connected with. And as Keisha shared what she learned, I'm going to leave us with a coaching question so that we can linger with our thinking and mediate some possibilities together. So for our listening community, our question for today is, how might you learn and lean in with disruptors and visionaries to build community capacity, especially for women?
That's a good question. And I can't wait to see those responses in our Twitter feed. And Lil, I can't thank you enough for joining us today and spending some time with us, just sharing your incredible career and insight with our listening audience. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been a joyful experience.
Yay. We like to bring joy into everyone's lives, and hopefully we bring joy into our listeners' lives when they listen to our podcast. Please don't forget to join our next podcast, where we're going to highlight another Shero in education and explore their M's. And until then, you can follow our hashtag TL Honor Role, R-O-L-E, and also respond to Francis's coaching question using that hashtag on Twitter. And until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Francis Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.